And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southern U.S. of A. I'm talking about Huntsville over to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, and I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Okay, we've got so much going on right now. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. And I see you posted that a minute ago too, JP, on the Lake and Riley Act. Let's double check on that and see if that was the procedural. I was understood that was another procedural hurdle they had to get through today, and that they're not likely to pass the actual act while Biden's still in office because they don't want it to be transmitted to a point where he could then veto it.
Yeah. So let's
see if that was real.
I'm saying that it was a procedural.
Okay.
But that, I think what I saw was that, like, this kind of tease it up that it will get passed. So officially not passed yet. No.
Okay. But, yeah. Let's modify that post we just put up on social media then. But yeah, that's still very cool. That's nothing but good. And that's also, by the way, that's high praise for Katie Britt. She's fighting that bill, straight through the processes. And it's also a common sense bill. It's a no-brainer. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you look at and go, why would you not vote for this? All it does is say, you know what? If you're here illegally and you're detained for a crime, you're gone. We're not even going to mess around. If you're detained for a crime, and yes, I understand that detained might be different than actually convicted. But the reality is, why should we go through the processes of then putting you through a trial at taxpayer expense and providing you with, you know, housing and providing you with legal, you know, counsel, when the reality is you're not even supposed to be here? So how about we just punch you across the border? That's what that, and that bill also does one other thing too. It's very interesting. It opens up the Department of Homeland Security to be sued by states if they believe that illegal immigration is negatively impacting their state. I may have oversimplified it, but that's pretty much the gist of the bill. You got that good? All right, good deal. John from Huntsville checks it in. He says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, just wanted to let you know you won yesterday's show with an A++, despite talking too much about Jim Carrey. Okay. He says, by the way, JP, happy birthday. And speaking of Taylor Swift, she's only a few weeks older than me, and both of us are now officially old enough to run for president. So if she does decide to run, I'm probably going to run against her. And JP, you can vote for me, and I'll make sure every Alabama sports team has all the best coaches and players so they can make the playoffs in every sports for 4 years.
I don't think the president can do that. I think that's a bit of an overreach there.
Well, apparently John's into big government. Yeah. Allie from Athens checking in saying, To Kill a Mockingbird is not entirely a work of fiction. It is based in part on a case that was tried by Harper Lee's father. Excellent monologue, Senator Williams. I did not know that, Allie. You just squared me away. You're nodding your head like you knew that.
So we read that book when I was in high school, and I remember that during our study on it, the teacher mentioning that. Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay, well, all right. I have learned something new about something important. Thank you, Allie. Appreciate you. David from Buc-ee's says, Phil, did you see where Biden said the ERA was law? I did see that. I need to dig into that and find out what he really means, but I don't think he has the ability to just enact it. I think what he's doing is basically reinterpreting prior precedent, and I don't know that it's going to stand. David, thank you very much, and I'll probably be doing a segment on that very soon. TL from Huntsville says, happy birthday, JP. It'll be easy for you to remember what you were doing last Friday of the Biden administration. Set Biden aside and enjoy your special day anyway. Nice.
I deem the inauguration as my birthday gift.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
we did it all for you, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate everybody voted him in for me.
Thank you to all the millions of people who voted for JP's birthday. All right, hey, listen, I'm going to do this first section. I'm calling it DC Gone Wild. And y'all, listen. It's getting saucy up there. It's getting punchy. And there's some good stuff happening. There really is. And there's a different feel. I mean, even from afar, you can tell there's a different feel in D.C. right now. There's also, there's also some new stuff happening, strange and different perhaps. There's also some things going on that you look at and go, my gosh, could y'all just please act like adults? Doesn't always happen, though. But like, I mean, just in terms of like the different feel. So here's one that I've never seen before. Dipper number one here is called DC Gone Wild. So like change is in the air, right? New stuff, crazy stuff. Did you see the story? Daily Caller has this one, Dateline last night. Donald Trump appoints John Voight, Mel Gibson, and Sylvester Stallone as special ambassadors. We got Rocky, Braveheart, and the Secretary of Defense from Transformers that are now special ambassadors to the White House. That's very, this is different.
Yeah. I didn't even know you could have an ambassador to a city or a place like that, like within the state or the country.
I think this is less the city or the community and more the thing, you know, the essence of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because movies get filmed everywhere. Hollywood is like Grand Central Station for the producing and the big, you know, sets and all that kind of stuff. But I really think this is talking about relationship with Hollywood, the thing, as opposed to Hollywood, the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, Donald Trump leaned on some of his famous friends to help influence Hollywood in an announcement that he shared on his Truth Social. The president-elect tapped three major celebrities, and I just said them, John Voight, Mel Gibson, and Sly Stallone, to be special. This is how he worded it. You ready? This is classic Trump. To be special ambassadors to a great but very troubled place, Hollywood, California. He said, they will serve as special envoys to me for the purpose of bringing Hollywood, which has lost much business over the last 4 years to foreign countries, back bigger, better, and stronger than ever before.
That's, yeah.
What is he? I don't know what he's saying here. He says it will be, by the way, he ended with this, that it'll be like the United States of America itself, the golden age of Hollywood.
Hey, I'm here for it. And by the way, I think Mel Gibson is the perfect person to do that.
I think he absolutely is.
I love Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's been one of my favorite actors since, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, the first time I ever, now Mel Gibson in Road Warrior is always going to be one of those classic cult movies that I love, but the very first Lethal Weapon, and I'm being serious when I say this, there was a scene in the beginning, towards the beginning of the movie where he was contemplating suicide and he was sitting there wrestling with it. And he acted that scene so well that it was hard to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, just the emotion on his face. That guy can put more emotion in his face than any actor I know of.
Yeah, and I mean, he was just on Joe Rogan last week talking about his faith and, you know, on a massive platform like that about why he believes what he believes, and also said that he currently is working on a script and almost done with it, doing a resurrection movie, because, you know, he did The Passion of the Christ.
Wow.
And he's dedicating a movie to just the resurrection itself. So yeah, I'm glad he is the perfect ambassador for that.
Oh, man.
that new position that Trump made.
Well, we'll see what it means. I mean, I don't know what it means. What is an ambassador to Hollywood, making Hollywood great, like the golden age of Hollywood again? Is he gonna encourage them to make movies that are patriotic? Is he gonna just say, hey, have a good relationship with the White House, it would be helpful? Or is he gonna say, hey, we'd like for you to do something about this thing and make it look good? I mean, you don't want the White House influencing what the movies are. Although we did that in World War II.
That's true. I think that's just a
and nobody minded.
That's true. I think that, I mean, this mainly, like you said, is just a vessel for, you know, somehow for Trump and his administration to have an impact to get the woke out of Hollywood.
I think that's it. I think it's get the woke out of Hollywood. I think it's allowing. I think too, these three guys and others like Chris Pratt and people who Zachary Levi, who don't mind saying, oh, yeah, by the way, here's my faith. Oh, yeah, by the way, I love my country. Like when Tom Cruise did, we're off on a total tangent here.
That's a good one, though.
But it's a good one. But when Tom Cruise did Top Gun Maverick, you've seen Top Gun Maverick.
Obviously, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, just checking. But when Tom Cruise did Top Gun Maverick, the appeal was so great. And I think it was because we were coming out of COVID. We were coming out of the Afghanistan debacle. And I think the nation was just hungry to be told we're okay. And it's okay to say we're okay. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that movie and just almost feeling relieved that it had the message that it did.
They didn't wokeify it. It had the same message as the first one.
Yeah, and by the way, since the first one was such a classic in part of my early years, I think they did a great, you know, they paid homage to the original. They tied it all together so well.
They didn't mess it up.
They did not mess it up.
It's very easy to mess up a sequel after, you know, the first one's so iconic.
Listen, I can still remember driving to U.S. Army Airborne School, driving to Fort Benning with like a cassette tape of the Top Gun soundtrack Danger Zone playing so loud that I was just fired up because I was going to go be a paratrooper. And I was like, driving to the Danger Zone. But that's just, you know. So, yeah, they can't screw with that movie. Like, please don't ever remake Braveheart. Thank you. I'm a little worried they made a Gladiator 2. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it. I just don't know how it's going to go. Anyway, all said and done, what's happening in D.C.? D.C. gone wild? Well, one of the things that just happened is Trump just appointed three great Hollywood conservative actors to be his special envoys to Hollywood. What does that even mean? I don't know. That one's kind of a cool story. Some of the stuff I got in my stack here when we get back from the break, I'll just tell you, it's not near as cool. And some of it's like an adventure in woke world moment. And others are things that you look at and go, somebody needs to punch him right in the mouth. just saying. We'll have all of it when we get back from the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so I got a bunch of text messages. Let me grab a few of those real quick. Bruce from Spring. I take about Jeff from Athens. Jeff from Athens was first. He says, I know the temperature is a factor. Okay, we're talking about the D.C. inauguration. So if you haven't already heard, the inauguration itself, the ceremony in which Trump and Vance and the others are sworn in, the inauguration itself has now been moved indoors for the first time since 1985. The last person to do that because of extreme weather was Ronald Reagan, 1985. Trump's ceremony will now take place inside the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. And apparently they're going to make an opportunity available to some, I don't know who, that will have tickets to the Capital One Arena, but that only seats 20,000 people. So now what? So, Charlene and I are planning on heading up there and, we'll just see what it means. Anyway, Jeff from Athens says, I know the temperature's a factor. However, could there have been a credible threat and POTUS use this as good cover? Certainly could have.
See, that's what I initially thought before I read it was weather. I thought that they were like, you know what? There's too much threat. There's, you know. We're strand too thin in terms of, you know, I don't know. I thought maybe that was the reason, but I mean, it probably is the most safest option.
I think, you know, I cannot deny that it's going to be super freaking cold up there. I mean, it's going to be, like they say, it's going to be like 21 degrees with a real feel of like 9 and a wind chill that's like even worse, and then snow on the ground. They're saying 1.5 to 2 inches of snow by the time Monday comes around. So it could be dicey. And that means that a lot of people are traveling into the D.C. area to flood the mall, and then that creates all kinds of hazards for people who have weather-related injuries, cars that get stuck, then, you know, jamming up the public transportation trying to get back out. So, I get it. I am sure that right now the Capitol Police and the National Guard and the Secret Service are like, oh, good.
But that's for sure.
But anyway, Bruce from Springville says, I believe the move to have the inauguration indoors is divine intervention. It's in order to protect Trump. And that may be true, too. Protect him from, you know, what all we don't know. But, you know, I have a friend who was actually on an FBI call about the event who let me know that right now they have no announced credible threats that are organized or seen as being, you know, foreign agent related, but their biggest concern is lone wolves, like the guy in New Orleans. Kathy from Madison says, hey, Phil, I'm going to the inauguration with my husband, mother-in-law, and stepson. Three generations of Patricks from Scottsboro, Alabama are going. This will be our first inauguration, and we plan on being peaceful. If you have any tips for the inaugural parade, please share. You know what? Kathy, I'm figuring it out, too, as I go along.
You're in the same boat.
I've got a whole file full of stuff over here in my notes on where to be and when. But good. I mean, I hope to see you. There's a whole bunch of Alabama folks going up there, so that'd be awesome to run into some ruffians up there. June Bug from Hartsel says, happy birthday to JP.
Thank you.
He seems like an amazing young man, she says. And you know what? She's right. Says, Phil, your monologue is fantastic as usual. Thank you so much. Says, I have loved To Kill a Mockingbird since it was required reading in the 9th grade. The movie with Gregory Peck is high on my favorites as well. As for Biden and Woodfin, none of that's surprising. For Kay Ivey, I don't understand why someone at the end of her tenure is satisfied with soiling her name and legacy. It's very sad on many fronts. I pray that my reputation will increase in favor with God and man as I grow older, and I would love to talk to Governor Ivey about how to make that happen in her own life. Junebug? What an amazing, can I have some applause for her? What an amazing text that was. Thank you so much for that. Badger from Athens saying happy birthday, JP. Lewis from Trinity says, did you hear there's a Top Gun 3 in the making? No, I did not.
I hope not.
And then also, by the way, it says he says the story is that when Mel Gibson showed up for the casting call for Road Warrior, he had gotten into a fight the night before and he had a big old black eye, and I guess that helped. He got the part. If you've ever go back and look at Road Warrior, especially if you see the original Mad Max, he was so young. I mean, he was probably in his 20s. But I'm telling you right now, the original Mad Max car, the V8 Interceptor, as a car guy, I would not kick that out of my garage.
You would let it stay?
I would let it stay. Kenan from Huntsville says, if any country refuses to take back an illegal alien, we ought to send them to Ukraine. Okay, he says, now that I think about it, we ought to do the same for any illegal who fails to turn themselves in for deportation. Anyone who opposes this must hate Ukraine. Okay, thanks, Kenan. Man, the texts keep coming in. A bunch of them saying happy birthday, JP. Let me get a couple more. We might go to the top of the hour on all these. Mike from Florence says, the main thing is to get the conservative actors knowing that it's safe to come out of the Hollywood closet. Yes, exactly. Thank you. I meant to say that a minute ago, and Mike, thank you for reminding me. He says, the rest will follow, i.e. good movies and TV without all the focus. That's where I was headed a minute ago when I said Chris Pratt and all the others. I think what they're doing is they're giving an opportunity for there to be a goodwill, like, okay, there's like a club that I could be a part of where it's cool to be conservative in Hollywood. James Woods, you know.
And these aren't small. Like, these are A-list names.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Stallone and Gibson and all them.
And I think Clint Eastwood would rank among them.
Yeah.
Did you ever see his empty chair speech at the convention about 10 years ago?
I probably have. I'm not recalling at the moment.
Awesome. But yeah, I do believe that there is a segment of Hollywood. In fact, I hear it all the time. The ones who are willing to be outspoken say that constantly they get from others, man, thank you for speaking up. I can't say it because I'll lose my next gig. But it shouldn't have to be that way. And I tell you what they're going to have to do. They're going to start getting producers. The actors are beginning to come out of the woodwork now. But they're going to start getting the producers and directors to speak up too, mm-hmm. who are willing to say, hey, you can be in my flick.
Yeah, and also they're seeing that the movies that are not woke and are about loving the country and religious and such, those are the ones that are doing much better than the woke movies.
Did you see the thing about the podcast and Joe Rogan moved to number two?
Yeah,
a Catholic faith based podcast suddenly shot to number one and supplanted Joe Rogan as the biggest podcast in the nation.
I've seen that. Yeah, and Tucker Carlson when he started did the same thing. I don't see any left. Our podcasts doing that or anything woke well, going up shooting up that ladder.
Call Her Daddy's not number one yet.
News to Kamala.
Isn't there an abortion related like young lady sex show transgender thing that can certainly be number one?
I don't think so. Not quite.
No. I don't think so either. All right, more on DC gone wild. We get back. Have you heard what Democrat staffers requested? What do they want to do? They want what kind of a work week? Seriously, they put it in writing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's news talk leader, Phil Williams, here in the Right Side Studios, live, local, state, and national. Man, we got all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. The last Friday, by the way, of the Biden administration. Thank you. Thank you very much. Can I have some applause? I think that's worthy of it. Thank you. Thank you very much. On his way out the door. Thank you. By the way, I'm in dipper number one, and y'all text in if you want to. Y'all are some texting machines today. I'll catch up with a few more of those here in just a minute. 833-687-4448. So I'm doing my first dipper. I'm calling it DC Gone Wild. There's some crazy stuff happening in DC right now. Some of it's like a hoot as we watch conservatives finally being given an opportunity for a voice. Some of it's like nuts as you look at like this story from redstate.com, Dateline last night. So here's the headline. Spoiled brat Democrat staffers plead with congressional leaders for unreal perk. There's a heck of a headline. Did you hear the story, JP?
I saw a bunch of headlines. I didn't read into it much.
So, yeah, the story starts off by saying modern day Democrats have never been known to excel at reading the room.
Yeah.
But so here's the bottom line. There's a whole bunch of staffers in Congress all of whom work for progressive, you know, Congress members, and they have their own organization. They call the Congressional Progressive Staff Association. Awesome. You got to know that's a room full of great ideas.
Yeah. That's riveting stuff going on in that room.
They sent a letter to the Speaker of the House. They really did. I saw a copy of it. They sent a letter to the Speaker of the House and to the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. And what they're asking for is for them to, quote, here's a quote, quote, consider adopting a proposal that would improve worker satisfaction, increase staff retention in Congress, and model a more sustainable approach to work on a national level. What do they want? A 32-hour work week. They work for friggin' Congress.
Yeah.
Do you know what an honor it is? Most people don't go up there to be career staffers. They go up there for an opportunity to serve for a while, work hard for a bit, put it on their resume, and then go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. The majority of staffers up there are, you know, folks your age and others, maybe a little older, that unless they're in one of the key positions, like a chief of staff kind of job, they're going to be working some long hours. And you know what? If the congressperson calls and you got to have some notes ready, you just better do it.
Like that is an honor to do that position.
It would be.
It's
yeah. Absolutely. They want to know if when Congress is in session, if they could be entitled to an abbreviated 20% lighter schedule also. So basically what they're saying is they want a 32-hour work week when Congress is not in session, and they want at least 20% lighter on their schedule even when Congress is in session because, you know, the people's business is secondary to their comfort. That's what we're looking at. This is unbelievable to me. They do have one advocate. Who would that be? Who do you think it would be?
AOC.
Close. Bernie Sanders.
That was my second guess. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, so they also think that once this is proven to be sustainable in Congress, like what we think you ought to do then is roll this out in legislation for the whole nation. We're here with good ideas, and we think things. And by the way, we would need extra coffee breaks so that we can go at our double soy lattes from Starbucks and our gluten-free like milk, whatever that is. I don't know what it is. Okay. I'm going to bet they bring Juicy Juice in their snack boxes too. Yeah. What do you think?
For sure.
Yeah.
The gluten-free lunch pack.
Exactly. Lunchables.
Yes.
Everybody needs a lunch, a snackables. All right. So, that's just crazy. All right. How about this one? You heard my monologue earlier. Biden did this last night. I pulled one a copy of it. This is Dateline this morning. The story broke this morning as I was getting up at like 4:45. President Biden announced Friday morning he is commuting the sentences of nearly 2,500 inmates. And he's proud of it. This is what's called a blanket pardon. This is what's called a blanket pardon that does not necessarily apply to a specific case in which there was some egregious act by the prosecutor or somebody withheld evidence and now we need to look at this again or somebody, you know, said I was treated unfairly because of my race or whatever the case may be. No, none of that. This is simply a case of Biden just doesn't like that kind of sentencing. He doesn't like that kind of thing. So I'm just going to do 2,500 of them in one friggin' whack. That's what he just did. He did 1,500 like 9 days ago. He did his son Hunter. If you remember, he did Hunter Biden for everything that, and this is the way that actually worked, everything that happened or could have happened within an entire 10-year period. In other words, Hunter's been really jacked up for 10 years. I'm going to excuse it all. And then he took I think 95% of the people on federal death row, he just took them off death row. This is absolutely not what the pardon and commutation power was designed to do.
And then some of those death row inmates were not wanting to be taken off.
Two of them said, we don't want to be taken off. We're not going to sign on to it because they believe that affected their appeal. It removed the level of scrutiny that they would get at the Supreme Court. Great memory. I forgot about that part.
And people forget, too, 2022, he did that with I can't remember the number of the marijuana charges in federal prison. They're racking up.
They are racking up. So this is absolutely not what it's for. The crazy thing is he's proud of it. It's not like he did it grudgingly, like I feel like I have to take a measure here that I believe is very important for the nation. No, he said, with this action, I have now issued more individual pardons and commutations than any president in U.S. history. It's not a race. This is not a competition. You have nothing to be proud of. I've gotten more criminals off than anybody else who's ever been in my office. What is your actual point? Except that you're soft on crime and you don't believe in reviewing things on a case-by-case basis. You're just going to go ahead and say that legislative action that put the laws in place is not near as important as your singular judgment about the actual laws. Not the people who were convicted, but the laws. And that's just absolutely asinine. Okay, but here's the thing. I just realized as I was scanning a few of my notes before I went to break, or while I was in the break, before I came back on. They're already afraid that Trump's actually going to pardon a whole bunch of Jan Sixers. And he should. And my understanding is he's already been reviewing all the files. And he's weeding them out. And he's making sure he doesn't have any violent criminals in there that would get pardoned and they shouldn't be. And I get that. But here we have President Biden issuing massive thousands and thousands of blanket pardons. And yet Pam Bondi, the future attorney general for the U.S., was being pinged by Adam Schiff during her confirmation hearing. Adam Schiff, old Shifty. And Shifty asked her, would you advise the president against blanket pardons? Do you see the hypocrisy here?
Yes, yeah. And not only hypocrisy, but that hypocrisy with her asking if she would allow him to go after political opponents. Yes, you know. Like, are you gonna let Trump do what Joe Biden's doing right now?
Yeah. By the way, Adam Schiff, are you gonna let Joe Biden let Donald Trump do what I did?
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, I tell you, one of my favorite moments. This is part of the DC Gone Wild thing. So yeah, Pam Bondi. This is off Fox News Dateline yesterday. Pam Bondi, during her hearing, Adam Schiff was one of the most vocal critics, and he was wearing her out on questions that were just ridiculous. And they got into a sparring match. And at one point, she says, he said, I'm sitting here today asking whether you are aware of a factual predicate to investigate Liz Cheney. And her response was, Senator, no one has asked me to investigate Liz Cheney. That's a hypothetical. And so then she looks at him and says, what you should be worried about is the crime rate in California. That's where he's from. Crime rate in California is through the roof. Your robberies are 87% higher than the national average. That's what I want to focus on, Senator. He didn't appreciate it.
No, he did not.
No, he did not. Then he wants to know, would she tell Trump he lost the 2020 election? I'm like, y'all, it is 2025.
Yep.
Joe Biden's been president. There's no way to go back and reclaim that. You want to keep rehashing that ground because that's the only talking point you got left. But here's the funny thing. At one point, she looked at him and she said, I'm not going to mislead this body. You were censured by Congress, Senator, for comments like that that are so reckless. In other words, she pointed out, you're giving me hypotheticals on things, and you were the one who was actually called on the carpet by your own body for this very thing. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. I got a little more on this. DC gone wild. In fact, I got a lot more. Can I cram it all in? I don't know. You guys are texting in, too. We'll take care of it. We'll get it all. 833-687-4448. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what we're doing. Devin from Brownsboro texted in. He says, hey, when's the next episode of The Right Philosophy? And he said, happy birthday, JP. Yeah, thank you very much. The Right Philosophy podcast just came out Wednesday. New episode every Wednesday. That's the podcast that I do. Right Side Media, our parent company here, we have four additional podcast lines aside from the podcast of the show itself. And the four additional that I'm talking about are also video podcasts. Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty does one called Controversial Mom. Birdman does one called Right Click that uses high tech and gaming as the backdrop for conservative views. And then former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson also does one called The Liberty Minute. They're all great. So thank you very much, Devin, for asking. By the way, Butters just reminded me a moment ago on the Right Side Report newsletter that we've got going out. Every day, by the way, if you're not getting it, you can, real easy, 833-687-4448. Just text the word newsletter to that number, and it'll send you an automated reply that lets you, sign up for our daily free email newsletter with all our updates and things about podcasts and all of it. Anyway, he reminded me, we got a poll going on there. Which one is the most important confirmation? Right now, Pete Hegseth is still in the front, so do the poll. It's open for, I think, is today the last day of that poll? It's a weekly.
Today's the last day.
Yeah, today's the last day of the poll. So if you want to try and alter the outcome, get on it.
Right now, Pete Hegseth's in the lead.
Hegseth's in the lead. Line one. I got a call. Let me grab it. Line one. Dave from Huntsville. Hey, man. How are you? We can lose Dave? Dave. Did we lose Dave?
Sounds like he's not there.
Okay. He's not there. I'll keep calling. Dave, call back if you want to. So here's the thing. I'm talking about DC gone wild. I don't know if you saw this, but I mean, there have been a number of things during the confirmation hearings that have been like great one-liners and key moments that also tell you what things are going to be like. So Scott Bessent is Trump's nominee to lead the Treasury Department. And he got into it with Bernie Sanders, which ain't hard to do. But so Biden said in his farewell address, I don't know if you saw that speech of the night, I talked about it in my monologue yesterday, but that an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth and power and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our freedoms, our rights, our fair shot for everyone to get ahead. In other words, what he's saying is there's too many rich guys on the Republican side now. Okay. Never mind the fact he just gave George Soros a Presidential Medal of Freedom like a week ago. But the truth is, this is laughable. Bessent looked at Sanders, who was agreeing with Biden, and calling out like Elon Musk. I mean, Sanders is calling him out by name, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg. And Bessent looked at him and said, the three billionaires you listed all made their money themselves. And Mr. Musk came to the country as an immigrant. And then Sanders cut him off and asked his question again. And he said, well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people that I think you would qualify, that would qualify for his oligarchs, meaning George Soros and David Rubenstein. This is the nuttiness we have. This is the absolute nuttiness that we have in D.C. right now. As the Democrats are slamming these confirmations these nominations, the candidates for nomination with things they've been doing themselves. I mean, it just like Adam Schiff, how dare he ask the questions? How would you try to oppose a blanket pardon, meaning January 6th, when Biden just did big blanket pardons the night before? You got this whole thing about oligarchs when they'll take money from George Soros if he'll dole out. Just, it's unreal. Here's another one for you. Just to sweeten the pot. Lee Zeldin, former congressman, is going to be the head of EPA, we hope. He had his committee hearing. He was asked how he's going to, basically what he said was, I'm going to make sure that we harness the greatness of American innovation and conservation and environmental stewardship all at the same time. He said, basically, there's a way that we can protect our precious environment without suffocating the economy. And he's going to make sure that we look at energy dominance again, revitalize the auto industry to bring back American jobs. And all this, a lot of this falls, keep in mind, the EPA was a part of where the Keystone Pipeline was held up for years under the Obama administration. And then, you know, there are things that get killed with the regulatory stuff that comes out of the EPA. But the other thing he said that I thought was real key, and this is important, there has been a move by liberals and establishment folks in D.C. to almost like weaponize every single department. One of the things that they saw more and more occurring during the Obama era and then under Joe Biden is they would arm EPA officials and they would actually do raids on people's businesses. EPA. And like during the confirmation hearing with Lee Zeldin, a Republican senator from Dan Sullivan from Alaska asked him about this. He says, I don't believe in armed bureaucracy. The EPA is acting like a SWAT team. Do you believe the EPA should even have armed agents? He asked Lee Zeldin. And Zeldin said, Senator, it's outrageous. He said, as someone who's going through this job transition to be asking questions like, how did that even get authorized? Who signed off on that? What are the standards that need to be met in order to even say yes to an operation like that? It's a whole new day when you think that we've had armed EPA agents and FBI agents arresting grannies for praying in front of abortion clinics. And you've got, you know, any number of lawfare issues, and they're questioning the Pam Bondi as if she's going to be committing lawfare. And right now, article I'm not even have a chance to get to, townhall.com, Democrats are terrified of Kash Patel leading the FBI. Well, they should be. They should be. It's just, that's the way it's going to be. Hey, JP, let my caller know that we're not going to be able to get him now because we're doing JP on sports next, so we won't be able to get to him. But listen, there's a whole lot of stuff happening in D.C. And Trump's asking people to resign, which is cool. He should. Three State Department officials have been asked to resign by the Trump transition team. Oh, and by the way, did you hear? The FBI closed its DEI office. Funny how that worked out. Suddenly they don't need DEI anymore. And then I guess the last thing that's funny that I'm not even getting a chance to get to is RFK hasn't even had a hearing yet. And all of a sudden the FDA is banning red dye number 3. Bring it, baby. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll come right back with some JP on sports.